Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 46 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight we have guns in the news. We have a couple of stories that we're going to be bringing to you, and we also have a main topic. Tonight's main topic is sight optics, and Thomas is going to talk to us about that. So what did we do in the news this week? What about you, George?
Well, I didn't do anything in the news, but what I did in guns was nada. And I'm not editing any of that.
You get some pink gun goodness.
No, you know what? Had the student exchange student, or the foreign exchange student.
Student exchange student.
Yeah, that too.
Are you sure you don't want to edit?
No. Listeners are used to my shenanigans by now. Okay. So, my niece had a birthday party on Saturday out of town, so we went to that. Threw my youngest daughter in the pool, threw the student exchange, the foreign exchange student in the pool. And my middle daughter ran and hid in the house. That's what
Smart
I did
girl.
On. That's what I did on Saturday, and then today was a beach day. We went to the beach, laid around the beach all day, and had some Mackey fries on the beach in Port Stanley, and some Mackey orangeade, ice cream at Shaw's, and then dropped the girls off and came home to record.
Sounds like a great day.
So I had an awesome day.
Yeah, sounds great.
No shooting though.
No shooting though.
Oh, actually, well.
You lied.
I was informed. I got to take my car in next weekend to get fixed, so I've already got my Saturday shooting planned. And so while at my niece's birthday, my father says, what are you doing next Saturday? So I'm like, I get my car fixed, and then Wanda and I are going to the range and going to do some shooting. He goes, oh, okay, because that's what I was going to tell you what you were doing on the weekend. I'm like, oh, how nice.
Have I told you I liked your dad?
He bought a Marlin. $795. It's got a gray wood stock on it. Very nice looking. I think it's got a stainless barrel, but it's got like a horrible cheek weld. You can't get a sight picture with this rifle. You have no choice but to, at least me, because I can't get the rear sight up high enough to line up with the front sight. So the only way I'd be able to shoot his rifle is with a scope, and apparently he's the same way. So he bought a scope.
What type of scope did he buy?
I have no clue. Although, for a retired guy, my mother, good thing he doesn't listen to this show.
I'm going to invite him.
My mother said to my dear sweet father, with all this money you're spending on guns and ammo, do I get to spend the same amount of money on whatever I want to spend on? So now my dad has a part-time job.
Oh, really?
He went into a Shoppers Drug Mart. I can't remember what he was buying, but they had a thing up hiring a driver. He asked about it, got hired on the spot.
Well, good for him.
Now he's got a part-time job, so it means lots more guns and ammo. And I'm like,
excellent.
Awesome.
So, why not?
Although none of that's really what I did in guns this week. But
for next anyways. Week, we'll have. Are we going to have video as well?
Of sighting in the scope?
Sure.
Yeah, I always take video pictures and videos of everything.
Yeah, you do.
Are you going to teach him how to properly install a scope, George?
Sure, because I'm an expert at that.
After tonight, you're going to have lots of info.
I put it on the rifle, and I shoot, and I see where the hole is on the paper and where the reticle is, and then I make them line up with each other eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, start spinning the dials.
Okay, so, all right, Tom, what did you do?
Me? Yep. It's been 7 weeks, and I still have no NFA card in the mail. Just saying, I've been waiting. I went shooting.
I don't think you're getting it. I got mine already.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'm not getting it. I'm not Lord Clarisfeld, favorite person. I did go shooting on Thursday with my young friend Russell. We went to the Silverdale Club on Thursday. Russ just got his RPAL in May, then he joined the club before, and then he bought a 10/22. Now he's starting to pimp it out. But he never shot center fire before, so just my compensated 22 with the red dot. So I brought along some 9mm, some 45s for him to try. Now the Silverdale is a type of range that you don't see around these days, at least not anywhere around where I live. It is not a non-profit for members only type range. Rather, it's privately owned Nice old-fashioned style range. It's open to the public Monday to Friday, 10 to 5, and a member 7 days a week until sunset. So outdoors only. Rumor has it that they are building 24/7 indoor range in the near future, but they did have four bays and an Ipswich shooting area, so it looked really nice.
That's cool.
It was a cool little club. There was actually a small little gun shop right beside the offices. Lant Shooting Supply seems to be, and it's, I mean small, it's really small. But they seem to be well stocked, and they had a really big online business. I have seen their website a few times, but I've never actually bought anything from them. And the ladies working in the office were very professional and friendly, even when she had to redo all my paperwork because I failed to mention my restricted firearms. I had to rent up the car and get my ATT. But I have a feeling that once sections of C-42 come into effect in September, that the policy may change. But, you know, as a former club director and club safety instructor, I can understand why your range may still require members to take a safety course before allowing them to shoot pistols with or without an ATT. Let's face it, the Canadian firearm safety course is severely lacking. Who cares about cannons, matchlock, wheel lock, flintlocks? We don't need to know about the history of the firearms, but rather we need to teach people how to actually use firearms safely. Hands-on practical shooting skills should be in the course. You know, we've all seen newbies being unsafe in the firing line, and actually I've seen some old-timers that scare the hell out of you too, but that's another story. But firearm safety is learned behavior. It's not something that you can be entirely learned from a book. It's a physical motion that must be understood and practiced by each shooter. The tactile experience of wood and steel in your hands and experiencing the released energy in your grip, it should all be experienced in the course outline material. So I really think there should actually be live fire in the Canadian Firearm Safety course.
I think so too.
That way you'd have to avoid having all these club-level safety courses if it was an institute.
I don't know about that. There's some chat around the club boardrooms about that, about whether they're going to still actually require people to have club level ATTs, just so that they can ensure that their members are safe, but also because of the fact in regards to insurance and that as well, they want to be covered. So they might just still require people to do club level ATT courses.
Yeah, so I don't have a whole lot of issue with that. My blood would boil was when I would send my request to the CFO for my ATT, and then I'd get a phone call getting yelled at by my club, which I responded to him, "What the hell business is it of yours? Nowhere in the law does it say I have to go through you." And, you know, of course, my stunning personality came out. And
you shown through again, George.
Yeah. I have no problems with the club saying, "Hey, we want to make sure you're not going to shoot up the place and shoot up our members. We want to make sure you're going to be safe. You know how to use your firearm and you're proficient in it." My issue was always that.
Why were they upset about it? Because you were.
Because I went directly to the CFO. It's when I first got my license.
Oh, okay.
And when I bought my cowboy pistols, I'm like, screw this club thing. Went online, looked at the RCMP website. I'm like, nowhere does it say I have to go through my club. Filled out the form, emailed or sent it in online. And yeah.
I got into a big run-in with one of our execs when I first joined this club, 15 years ago. One night he pipes up that, well, now Thomas doesn't have to illegally bring his guns to the range. He said, I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you don't have your ATT yet. We haven't issued it to you. You've been bringing your guns illegally for the last week. I said, horse hockey. And I pulled it out my bag, and I'd actually emailed the CFO, and they'd give me the ATT a week before. The club had it, never issued it to me, and I got it first from the CFO.
Okay.
So you won't have to worry about that now. You can still bring the clubs, but the club will just say, well, you can't shoot it unless you're club-level certified, that's all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I suspect our club will probably do the same thing. Which the guy that runs ours, he's a nice guy. I great respect for the man, and I see him all the time, and, you know, hey, George, hey, Mike, how's it going? Nice guy. But, you know, when all this went down, he had no idea who I was. Had no clue what my experience level was.
I think he knows who you are now.
Yeah, you know, and he would have no problems issuing me an ATT. Well, I just got it in January, but you know, so I get it. But it was just that.
You know. I think if the firearm safety course wasn't so lacking, there wouldn't be a need for it. But you see so much unsafe behavior on the line, not just the new shooters, some of the older people too. So I think that there should be live fire so you can actually physically teach somebody how to safely shoot a gun. It's like we were talking about last time. You don't give a 16-year-old the keys to a 5-liter Mustang and set them out in the rain to drive if they've never driven before. You actually, they have standardized testing.
Yeah,
they have the knowledge before they actually do it.
You give them the keys to the Yaris.
The Yaris.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
You should be able to take your guns for a road test in the course.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not up to speed on this, but the firearms instructors do not have to actually be linked to a club, do they? Like they can do off-site teaching, right?
Oh yeah, there's businesses that are set up that do it. There's individuals. A lot of individuals that are listed aren't actually doing it anymore, and they're not accepting any more instructors currently. But his name? Rob Gatakis, I believe his name is. He has a big business out in
BC. Yeah.
So I guess so that's kind of what I thought. So I guess the point would be, if you're teaching these courses in, you know, a basement classroom that, you know, you've converted your basement into a classroom, how are they going to do live fire, right? So
I think the government should actually have ranges located across the country where people can take the course and do live fire. I don't think it should be the responsibility of the instructors.
My red flags start going up because now you're adding further restrictions.
No, not restrictions. When I was a kid, we had public ranges. You could go up there, you could spend your $10, you could shoot for the day.
I know, but
they're all shut down now.
Exactly. Thank you. That's the point. They're all shut down now. So if that was the fact where you had to go to these public ranges, nobody would be able to get licensed now because there's no ranges, right?
True.
So
I'd still like to see it implemented. I'd like to see like a central teaching academy instead of individuals. Like there's, I don't know if any of the businesses do live fire. Some of them might, but they're not required to.
No, most of them don't.
Yeah. Most of them don't.
I've said this many a times on the show. I went through, got my license, never touching a trigger.
Oh, I know.
Like it just blows my mind. I'm with you, Thomas.
Oh, okay. You guys are talking about. Are you guys talking about the club issue ATTs? Or are you talking about the ATT or
the firearm safety course?
Okay, all right.
I agree with you, Thomas. I think there should be a live fire component to it, but how do you implement that when the system that we have in place does not require a club environment for the training?
No.
So. Yeah, I don't know what the answer would be to that.
Well, once they put all the cost on us when they created the program, so if you want live training, you're going to have to pay for it yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, in some ways, I'm okay with that because then I get to choose. I'm not being forced and pigeonholed into a program.
I'd like to see like someplace, for example, if they open up Hart House at UFT again, for example, and do it as an actual course 7 days a week. Because they've got a range there. There's universities, there's buildings where there are ranges.
Yeah, but quite honestly, if people are taking this course, they're going to be taking it all over Canada. It's not going to be accessible for everyone.
I'm just thinking the Toronto area. Like there are places where you could.
Well, you know what? That's center of Canada.
Thank you.
Center
of there the and there it is, folks. And Toronto wonders why they have the reputation of Canadians thinking they are the center of the universe, or you know, making the accusation that Toronto thinks they're the center of the universe.
There used to be a lot of ranges, especially in Scarborough when I was a kid. Lots of ranges are all gone.
All right. Well, that's because it's a long time ago.
Oh, shut up. What did you do in Canada, Kelly?
It's not the 1800s anymore, man. Come on.
You know what? I called the RCMP. I called them to do the interview for a friend of mine who's applied for her PAL and her restricted PAL, and also actually to see what was going on with mine. And the lady on the phone, her name is Stacy. She's a very nice lady. She stated that my application, it's been in there for a while, and there's nothing going on with it. They're really tremendously backlogged because of C-42. They've just been flooded with applications, and she's saying that it's taking about six to eight weeks, but I just wrote down six, but it's six to eight 8 weeks to start the process. She told me to call back next week, maybe. Maybe it might be at the point where we can start doing interviews. And then also the people who are the references for me, she said get them to call as well. She said that's basically the best course of action. Instead of waiting for things to happen, just give them a call. Oh, my God, now everybody's going to call them and flood them.
You already have your non-restricted. You're just upgrading to restricted, right?
Oh, no, no, no. I don't have my PAL.
Oh, okay.
I took them all at once. I sent them all in, and now I'm just waiting for everything. So, yeah. So, just get your... The best advice she gave me and I'm giving to everybody is to, it's going to take a little while longer, but also just to call in and get your references to call in. Log in, get your ID number, and then have that ready. It's really quick and easy. I did my friend's interview. It took all of about 2 minutes, and yeah, it's quite quick and easy. But yeah. I went to the range on Thursday night, so yay, the fact that it's still light out until 9 o'clock nowadays, so yay. We did... Did some more challenges for the squirrels, challenge, and then I did that with my 1022, and I also did some AQTs as well. I wanted to actually really start practicing my standing shooting with the rifle, and just to see about consistency and working on getting my grouping to be a little bit tighter, and I'm getting pretty happy with it. I also wanted to see about the consistency of my scores with the AQT, and I'm consistently shooting riflemen, except for when it counts, and that as well, so I'm happy with that. I went to the range today as well. Kevin was at Connaught Rifle Range all weekend. He was doing a service rifle match, so I didn't know if I was going to be going today or not, but he did end up coming home early, and so we went out to the range. We shot pistol this time. I haven't shot pistol since just after the charity shoot. The week after the charity shoot, we got back and we did some IPSC-style drills. Haven't shot pistol since then. I shot my M&P-22 and also my Beretta. I really had to work on my stance and my grip and everything. And I really wanted... We were really going to concentrate on it because we're going down to Ohio next month to do some training down there. Pretty happy with it. Started out not so great, but by the end of it, I was pretty happy with the 22. I was very consistent with being able to shoot. I was able to shoot out to a ragged hole in the middle of the target, just from the point of view of I was using some of the stuff from Maple Seed or Apple Seed about the sight picture. And focusing on the front sight and just letting that happen. And once I did that, I was able to actually really bring in my grouping and that as well. 9mm, I really, really need to work on my 9mm. But it was, again, but I was happy with my 22, converted over to 9mm, basically started all over again. And by the end of it, I was very happy with my 9mm. I'm shooting a little low into the right. Or sorry, to the left, so I have to work on my grip a little bit. But again, it was sight picture and trigger pull and that too. So I was happy with that. Yeah, it was a good day at the range.
Lots of shooting then.
Yeah, had quite a bit. One thing that I did want to mention is today's National Peacekeepers Day. It's August 9th. It's a day that we remember the sacrifices and achievements of Canada's brave peacekeepers. So I just wanted to have a shout out to them. I know that there's quite a few in my family, and I know that there's people out there as well. So just wanted to say, you know, this day's for you. That's been it. All right, guns in the news. George, you're up.
Actually, no, we switched, remember?
Oh.
I'm doing story one, George is doing story three.
It still says George, though.
This story has been kicked on and off the last five or six shows. We've just never had room for it. So the Canadian Rangers. The Canadian Rangers, a subcomponent of the Canadian Armed Forces Reserve that patrols the north and other remote areas, are finally getting new rifles to replace the aging current model Lee Enfield's number 4 because of the scarcity of parts that have made the Lee Enfield so difficult to maintain, if not impossible to find. the Government of Canada and the Department of National Defence with Colt Canada under the Munitions Supply Program is replacing the original Lee Enfield rifle fleet with commercially available hunting rifles. So hopefully it trickles down to us in a couple of years. Prototype rifles have been delivered to the Rangers for a trial test that lasts until the end of 2005. The production of 6,500 or more rifles will start mid-2016 with a completion delivery date of 2018. The replacement rifle itself is very nice. It's based on the SACO T3 compact tactical rifle. SACO is located in Finland. The Canadian supplier is Stoger Canada from Whitby, Ontario. And Colt Canada will produce the barrel, bolt, and receiver under license from SACO. This extreme condition rifle features a larger bolt handle and larger trigger guard to accommodate glove hands, plus protected front and rear sights. It's an orange and red color with a Ranger crest, and it has a two-stage trigger and a three-position wing safety. And we'll put a website or link into the show notes so you can see what this rifle looks like. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's a nice looking gun.
Hate to see the cost, but it looks really nice. It's beautiful for Canadian hunting up north.
Yeah. Now, there's not going to be any issues because of Colt going into receivership down in the States. I think Colt Canada is fine.
Yeah, it's a separate company altogether, I believe.
Yeah.
Colt Canada is still producing the AR, so.
True. Okay.
So we've got another gun banning mayor, Kelly?
Yeah. So this was a story that was in CBC, on CBC this past week. I'll just read it out to you and then we can discuss, see what you guys think about it.
You can laugh along the way.
Well, yeah. Mayor's gun ban idea is redundant, city lawyers say. City lawyers say existing provincial and federal laws leave little room for the city to strike its own ban without duplicating or conflicting with those laws. By the way, this is in Hamilton. Following an exchange of gunfire on Main Street on a Sunday afternoon in May, Mayor Fred Eisenberger said the event has shaken him. He asked city staff to look into whether the city can enact a complete ban on guns in the city. I can't think of any reason anyone in our city would need a gun, he said then. We can't stop idiots from being idiots. I want to know if we can stop them from having guns. But the city's legal team says provincial and federal laws, as written, should already cover that. According to the report, a city council committee will review Monday, and that's this coming Monday, by the way. The feds already have jurisdiction over regulating firearms and ammunition. The province also prohibits selling guns to minors and regulates hunting. An existing city bylaws prohibits firing a gun within city limits except for military, law enforcement, and some hunting and shooting range purposes. The lawyer suggests the city could update its bylaw to clarify this, the sanctioned hunting boundaries and to clearly reinforce the federal and provincial laws around firearms. For example, in regulating the discharge of firearms, the bylaw does not currently indicate explicitly that the hunting exemption does not apply to handguns and fully automatic guns, lawyer Lisa Pasternak wrote. I have a little bit of a comment about that. We can talk about it in a minute. Handguns like the ones used in Sunday shootouts are already restricted for target practice at shooting range for high-risk jobs. Nearly 3 months after the shootout, police have not released any updates on the investigation, possible suspects, or where the two men who shot at each other on May 17th might have been from. Police officials have invoked the event as an example of the kind of crime that needs provocative policing tools like street checks to help solve, but haven't said whether the street checks in the area have led to any breakthroughs in this particular case. God, I can't read. In response to a string of violent events in the city center, Ward 3 Councillor Mayor Green, Matthew Green, got mayor on my mind, has also proposed a gun buyback program. Wow.
Oh, those really work, don't they?
Yeah, sorry about that. I stumbled through that. yeah, so the mayor essentially wants a gun-free zone. The only problem is it'll affect people who legally own guns, and well, we all know that the criminals don't really say, well, oh, we're not allowed to have guns in this area, so we're not going to do that. And then Lisa Pasternak, she said that does not apply to handguns and fully automatic guns. what's wrong with that statement? Anybody know?
I know.
Like, seriously.
We're talking politicians here.
I know. Anyways. And the, oh, gosh. Anyways. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. So, and there's been some talk both on Facebook and on other podcasts about gun-free zones and different things like that, and how they work and how they don't work, and also about what's happened down in the United States in regards to
history has proven that they don't work. They're actually breeding grounds as targets because people hunt them down as gun-free zones because they know there's no resistance. So
yeah,
gun-free zones are a bad idea.
I'm hearing more and more towns coming up with ordinances where they're requiring their residents to have a functional firearm in their homes. Mm. And there was one, it was on Facebook, a news story, where one town actually put up signs heading into town that...
In Canada?
No, this was down in the States.
Oh.
That, basically all of Canada is a gun-free zone, essentially. But putting up signs saying, this is not a gun-free zone. Our residents are encouraged to carry arms.
We talked with Sticks about that town when we had him on the show.
Mm.
Like it's,
and more it still and has more, zero crime.
Yeah, more and more cities, and maybe not cities, but towns down in the States, they're figuring it out. The problem is it's the big metropolitan cities that are less of the city officials are voted in, and more of them are appointed, and you get you appoint your agendas, basically, right?
Well, you have big anti-gun money coming into the cities. Like Bloomberg is just, he is such a force to be recognized with in the States. He's going after and supporting everybody that he can.
Well, that's in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, even up, a difference, there was that one state where they had the sheriff was really pro-gun, and Bloomberg threw all his resources trying to get this guy defeated, and the sheriff won only by a couple of votes, but he won. So well, he's taking millions of New York dollars and spreading them all over the country.
Well, that's down the states that they have their own issues.
Yeah.
But with that,
well, my point being is that
they copy him.
They're starting. There's towns down in the States that are starting to wake up to the fact that gun-free zones are killing zones, was kind of the point I was trying to get at, which, you know, took a long route and found a couple squirrels and a shiny rock to get to, but, you know, that was kind of my point, was that there down in the States, there are more and more towns up here. Right. It's so indoctrinated into our culture that guns are bad. You know, it's getting better, but mayor doesn't surprise me.
Well, this mayor doesn't realize that in Hamilton they have a huge gang problem, and it's not the law-abiding citizens, it's the gangbangers that are actually carrying these illegal firearms, and they're the ones that are out in the middle of the street firing at each other. It's called turf war.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
They can't control that, so they try to control us, that's all.
So I think what we need is a new firearms advocacy group. How was that for a segue?
Oh, that's a good segue.
You think so?
Oh, that was golden. Of course, all of this ranting just ruined it, but that's okay. apparently, Facebook's a bit of a buzz, and there's looks like there's going to be a new firearms advocacy group forming. We now have the Canadian Coalition. Oops, hit my mute. The Canadian Coalition of Gun Rights, with the NFA deadlocked and with several cases before the courts, it seems that the NFA has not been working for gun owners' interests lately. Instead, it seems to have imploded into itself these days.
No kidding.
So, and you know, like somebody had posted up on one of our old posts. I'm kind of deviating here from the story. About the AR petition. Now, did we ever hear? Did we ever hear what was the result of that petition? That because it got submitted to the House, and did they not have a time frame to respond in?
I have not heard.
I haven't heard anything either.
I think what's we're not going to be hearing anything right now because things have been called until after summer.
Actually, now that the writ's been dropped, the House is done now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's done.
So there's nothing until after the election.
Is that not? Much.
Yeah, because once the writ's dropped, the House shuts down, does it not? Or do they still operate?
They still operate. They come back. Right now, they're on summer vacation. They come back and they'll still operate, but until the election, they don't do anything until the election.
Yeah. So anyways, that was the last big push that the NFA had going on, but it's kind of fizzled, and with all the kind of shenanigans that's been going on, that's my word of the year, shenanigans.
You like that word, don't you?
I do. So anyways, so unfortunately the NFA, and nobody ever hears from the CSSA, so who knows what they're doing.
They're just sitting back and watching is what they're doing.
No, but I mean as far as an advocacy group.
No, I know that.
Like, they've been very active.
They've been very active.
They are very active, but you never hear from them. So you have no idea what they're doing until there's some big announcement. Anyways.
Well, usually they, on their defense, they do update everything in their monthly newsletter. They're pretty good that way.
Yeah, they do.
You don't get the newsletter, do you, George?
No, actually, I've started getting it again.
Yeah, they're pretty good for updating.
And don't they send it a Caliber magazine as well?
Yeah, which I got to call them and complain to them again because I called with my new address, and she's like, and I asked specifically, can you make sure I get on that mailing list for the Caliber? Oh, yeah, no problem. That's two issues that have come and gone. And the last issue was Lover Actions. Hello?
It's a great addition, and I have it.
Yeah. So anyway, so back to story three. Moving on.
Just hold on. Don't you go to, doesn't your gun club carry them in all of the gun stores?
I don't think so.
Mine does.
They're free at a lot of the stores.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
So tell us more, George.
So a new organization has emerged as a side branch. Okay, now Thomas wrote this. They're not a branch of the NFA, are they?
It's started by the five directors who are in the dispute.
Yeah, but that doesn't make them a side branch of the NFA. They're a splinter of the NFA, maybe.
That was their wording, not mine.
Oh, is this their wording?
Okay. Yeah, that was their wording.
All right. Well, I tried blaming Thomas for it, but apparently that didn't work.
I asked, and that's what I was told, so.
Okay, so a new organization has emerged as a side branch of the NFA. Who's typing?
Me.
NFA director. That's very distracting. A group involved in the disputes.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, sorry about this.
Shiny. Okay.
That has been created to continue the work at hand. There are some very well-respected members of our gun community getting involved in this group, so check out their Facebook page and website. I think the website is like a work in progress. I just saw a posting saying they're going to be adding a about us portion. So, this is like 3 days old?
Yeah, they already have over 1,200 members. Last time I checked, it was like 1,246 or something like that.
Yeah,
when you get a chance, go online and read their purpose and objectives. And,
yeah, do that.
It doesn't agree with everybody.
Not really.
We'll just leave it at that. A lot of people don't like it. Some people do like it, but go on. Read through it and let us know what you think about it.
The good thing is it's actually causing some people to debate about it or offer their comments, and maybe they can change or reword some things or anyways.
So just to recap, because I kind of diverted and kind of made a butchery of this story. The Canadian Coalition of Gun Rights. I'll try and remember to put a link in the show notes for it, for their website, and
the link actually doesn't work right now, so what we need to do is just put up their can't really even do Facebook. If you want to belong to their group, message us.
Yeah. So that is that. Now, here's, I do have, here's my thoughts. I'll be very brief and then you guys can comment. We're now up to one and a half major organizations, and we have, what, three or four kind of little tiny ones that no one really knows about? Like, at what point do we just do the small little ones just kind of say, like, it seems like it's getting ridiculous. There was the one out in New Brunswick somewhere that just started up. There's the CFI here in Ontario. Now these guys.
And the Ontario Federation of Hunters and Anglers in Ontario.
And well, yeah, but they're not really. Canada Rifle Association.
Yeah. There's quite a few.
There's all kinds.
They all represent, a lot of them represent different things.
Yeah, yeah, but how effective, I guess my point of view is, how effective are this group going to be? How effective are these other groups going to be? You know, well, like right now my money's going to the CSSA for two reasons. One, they were the first gun lobby that popped up when I did my search, and so I signed up with them. And now it's a requirement of my club, but like, I want to join these other groups. I want to support these other groups, but how effective are they? Like, how much influence are they going to have in Ottawa?
The more voices, the louder you're heard.
Right, and some of the groups are specific to what type of sports shooting you like to do.
Well, a good example was at the Dominion of Canada Rifle Association. Kevin could probably correct me. That if it wasn't for them, the AR-15 would be prohibited.
Right. Yes,
I would correct you too.
Yeah,
that's what I've heard too. So when I hear something like that, I go, you know what? I wouldn't mind joining the Dominion of Canada and putting my money there because there's an effectiveness there.
You want to do service rifle?
No.
Well, that's what they. Okay, go ahead.
But I'm just saying, if they were an advocacy group that were calling out for membership, like the NFA or the CSSA, because they've sat there, they can say to me, because of us and our lobbying, the government listened to us, and instead of banning, prohibiting, they've become restricted. Okay, but like some of these other groups, like the CFI, the one out in New Brunswick, yeah, the more voices you speak and the more you get hurt, but do we even know these guys are being hurt in Ottawa? Does Ottawa even know these other groups exist?
Are they even acknowledging them?
I think they're well, quite honestly, I don't know if they're acknowledging the larger ones as well.
Well, the CSSA seems to be in with the government. Like they Tony Bernardo seems to be on different committees and not committees or whatever, like.
Yeah, it's more of a
they seem to know who he is.
Type of scenario. You don't really know what's going on. They don't tell you what they're doing, and they just give you that trust me attitude. Well,
but when they make announcements, they bring Tony Bernardo and they make announcements at CSSA clubs. So they're aware of the CSSA. They're aware of the NFA. So, you know,
I don't think another voice is a bad idea.
Well, another voice, but you could have 1,000 voices, but if Ottawa's not hearing any of those 1,000 voices, then
well, if the 1,000 voices work together and is one.
That to me makes more sense.
Right, everyone wants to vary.
Everyone wants to make their own pie a different way, and nobody wants to share the recipe and get together and make one pie.
Well, they all have different goals and objectives. Like if you read the CSSA's goals and objectives and you compare them to the new coalition's goals and objectives, they don't line up.
See, I like the NFA and I liked the CSSA because they fit what you were just saying, Tom, that the CSSA had different objectives. They had a different format of doing things, and they were more about protecting the rights to own the guns. NFA was always more geared towards self-defense, and they were a lot more, I don't know how to say it, but you know what I mean? Like they had a different objective. They weren't just about guns. They were about firearms as a tool for self-defense.
Of course.
And being able to, CSSA, from what I've seen, always tends to steer away from that aspect.
I've never seen them promoting it as much as the NFA did.
Right. So you're right. We got the two groups. They're both fighting for guns, but they're also fighting for guns in different ways. And I thought that was great, and I really liked that. But now we've got all these different splinters off, and like people only have so much money, and these groups need to learn that. You want to actually be the next NFA. You can't be a splinter amongst 100 other splinters asking for your $25.
Well, right now, sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
This is not a splinter of the NFA. This is a new, brand new group. These are people that didn't like the way the NFA was going and have decided to make their own. And there's always going to be, until I think the NFA folds, or if it doesn't, there'll be the NFA camp, and then there will be the Canadian Coalition of Firearms Rights, and the CSSA, and that as well. I think it's people who didn't want to be affiliated with NFA anymore. They're going off and doing their own thing and thinking they can represent Canadians and Canadian gun owners' rights as well.
See, if the Canadian Coalition of Gun Rights can rise up and overtake the NFA, all the power to them. I hope so. I wish the guys the best of luck.
It wouldn't be the first time that organizations evolved together.
But does it not seem like every couple months there's a new advocacy group popping up?
It shows you that the Canadians still have that passion for the rights and firearm ownership, and that we see the rights being taken away piece by piece, and we're starting to fight back. And it's the only option that we have to do it. We don't have anything in our Bill of Rights or our Constitution that says that we can have a right to firearms. It's a responsibility, and we just have to be able to keep what we have.
Yeah. All right, enough about that. Okay.
But
do you think, or do you want to still talk about it?
I've said everything I had to say.
Okay.
Well, you got to let Kelly have her turn. Like, you
know, no, I'm moving on.
Lead host says move on.
Okay.
Okay, main topic. Tonight we're going to be covering scopes. Thomas,
well,
go ahead, take it away.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay, any maple, cedar, apple seed course is really going to test the limits of your rifle, scope, and magazines. Think of it as an extreme rimfire torture test, and that's what we discovered last weekend. We had over a quarter of our shooters had their scopes shoot loose, and one catastrophic failure of a Tascos scope, just saying. Didn't his reticle fall off, George? Mm.
Tascos rock.
just want to remind...
Or Mike.
Just want to remind our listeners that rings and mounts are usually shipped with some type of oil-based rust inhibitor. Though a mount may not be readily visible, it must be thoroughly removed before installing any locking surfaces, screws, bases, or threads. You should take brake cleaner and a Q-tip and a clean and degrease everything with that. And sometimes a little bit of Loctite or a little bit of nail polish will help you keep your screws in place. Kevin uses a torque wrench, which reminds me, John, I want my torque wrench back. It's been over a year. The problem is when you buy a low-cost scope, usually the optics are half-decent, but you get really budget rings included. If you're planning to give your rifle some hard use, we'd suggest investing in some quality rings as part of your setup. You don't have to go out and get a whole new scope if you've got, you know, that Simmons or the Tasco, and the scope is working for you. Just get a more secure ring setup. As far as the groove receivers, personally I'm not a fan of them. Sooner or later, the mounts tend to slide back and forth, especially in the soft aluminum receiver. They shake loose so easy. If your gun's not already drilled and tapped, get it drilled and tapped for a Picatinny rail. The Savage 64 is now drilled and tapped from the factory, but the Marlin 75 is not. Is your Marlin drilled and tapped, George?
I have no idea what that means.
It's got little holes in the
holes
top of the receiver.
Mount the scope.
I bought it off you. Does it?
Oh, your Savage 64.
No, he said Marlin.
Yeah.
Did I say Marlin? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I know the Marlin isn't. I meant the Savage. Is there Savage drill?
No. No. And I just mount the scope right to the receiver. I don't have the Picatinny.
So you just use the groove receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, you're right, it's always coming loose.
Always come loose. Well, you know, If you can't get it drilled and tapped, there are scope basis adapters available for a groove receiver. There's not a large selection on the market. Just try to find the longest you can for the best eye relief. Also, your height over bore will increase because you're going to have a bigger base, so you may have to use smaller rings or increase your sight picture or get some of that sponge that we had at the maple seed and the wrap just to increase your cheek weld. Okay, and I fully admit that out of desperation once, okay, maybe twice by mistake, I did buy some NC Star grooved rails. Avoid the NC Star version of anything if possible. The metal is very soft, and it strips really easy with not much force being applied. So, yeah, I stripped the rings, and I stripped the base. So stay away from NC Star. It's crap.
So you're not getting paid for them by them?
No, not at all.
So your suggestion is to buy some rings.
Get some good rings.
Now, good rings. Also, just make sure you know where you're mounting it on your... If you have a rail as well, know where you're mounting it. Get some offset... what are they called? Offset rings? I haven't had to purchase any of those.
Mm-hmm. I usually get... Well, it's a straight mount, so you're not really going to need offsets. But you can get...
You might have to if you need to adjust where your scope is being mounted.
True.
Right? So if we, yeah. Just because if the scope is too far forward, you might have to actually...
Well, that's why it's nice to get...
And the rail.
If you have just a Weaver, you're only going to have one or two slots where you can move it, but if you get a Picatinny rail, it gives you a lot more room to bring it back and forth to suit your eye relief. But, you know, even if you've just got the 1x4 sevens or the 3x9, they'll hold up. As long as you have some a good set of rings, you can get sales had. I picked up some Leopold rings. They were $25-$30.
Yeah, they're not solid steel. Not expensive.
No, solid steel, not aluminum. And I torque that sucker right down, and it never strips. So, and it's not coming off.
Yeah, check it every once in a while. One of the recommendations this weekend, or this whenever it was, last weekend. Was it last weekend or the weekend before?
Well, especially if it's been on there for a couple of years, because if you start putting solvent in there, it's more likely that your scope base will work loose, but the solvent's getting in the screw hole, so sometimes you may have to reattach that, but usually the rings themselves, once they're on proper, they'll stay on.
Well, just the screws themselves, just check your screws every once in a while.
Yeah, that's why I'm a big proponent of Loctite. I love Loctite. I Loctite
every freaking screw I have. Or pink nail polish.
You saw that, eh?
Yeah, pink nail polish.
It works.
Yeah.
I couldn't find my Loctite. Actually, I found it since then when I was putting the spark on. So I had to run down the street and bore some of my neighbor's pink nail polish. So if you see my compensated 22 with a red dot, there's a pink dot on the side.
Yep, pink nail polish.
It works.
Anyways. George.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on to listener emails. You want to pick us up with the first one?
Absolutely.
Thanks, George.
That would be just my greatest pleasure as I'm stalling to scroll down. Okay.
Certainly.
Hi, guys and lady. Start listening the same episode you added your third host. Nice addition. I can feel the podcast forming. I've started listening to back episodes, and I've almost caught up. I shot mainly trap for many years in the 80s and 90s with my father. I stopped during university due to cost and age gap. I've recently got back into trap and sporting clays. I kept my trap guns, a Browning BT-99, and recently bought a Beretta 692 sporting clays that I love. While many things have remained the same... What word is he trying to say there?
Same. Maiming things have changed.
Maiming, so I'm thinking he's probably many things.
Oh, many things. Okay. All right. You got to love autocorrect. I don't know how many times I'll edit a Facebook post because I'll read it and go, oh, stupid autocorrect. Anyways, sorry, Eric, again. While many things have remained the same, many things have changed. That's it. Some for the better and some I'm not so sure about. I was hoping you could do an episode covering trap, sporting clays, and skeet. From the basic of each sport to the techniques and gun selection you may wish to choose for each sport two chokes to powdering your shotgun. Keep up the good work. Regards, Eric from Calgary.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
We actually know a couple of people that could probably, we could have on the show to talk about that.
I think it's a great idea.
I concur.
What, Jason and Sean?
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be a great idea to have Sean on a, maybe do a show a little bit later, maybe in a month or two when he's able to get his club up and running. See how it's going.
Okay.
What do you think?
We could do two birds with one stone.
So mm-hmm. We'll answer your questions in a couple weeks there when we have the two, see if we can get the two guys on.
Yeah, maybe even Eric can come on and chit chat with them.
Even better.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
We have another one there.
I was stepping on your lead host toes, so I apologize.
Ah, that's okay. We have another one there. Thomas, you want to read it?
The next one comes from Sharp 97. He emailed us on the website, and he said, "Hey, what are the requirements for range to host a maple seed, apple seed? Is there a one-day program?" There isn't really a one-day program. I did contact the international rep for apple seed, and they said that if you contact the shoot boss in the area that you want to shoot, so it'd probably be Michigan, would be closer for you, or if you want to venture into New York State, that would be scary, but you couldn't bring your AR. They could possibly set up a match to coordinate with your needs. Because with Sharp, Saturday's the Sabbath, so he's not allowed to do anything on the Saturday, so anything on the weekends isn't working out for this guy. So we're going to see if we can get him something that suits his needs, get him shooting.
Maybe we can suggest somebody for him to talk to as well. Or he can actually come and visit a maple seed if one's being run up here and see what it's all about and if he'd like to do one. And then also,
What I suggested to him is that I gave him some of the links to the targets and I guess some of the educational material. I just sent him a link that was on, I think Kevin put up. And so he can print off and practice. And if he can, come out on the Sunday, at least he'll be able to at least try the AQT version, get a little bit of coaching. So, at least he'll get some of the course in.
Right.
If he can get some, if he can get his natural point of aim and his prone position worked on and work on the transitions on his own where he's comfortable with it, why not come out on the Sunday anyway?
Right.
He'll still get a full day of instruction in.
Yeah, he would.
But, I'm sure if you had a group of people that were in the same circumstances as you that want to do, a Sunday, Monday or whatever, fits your criteria, I'm sure if you had enough people, they could organize a shoot for you. Right. It's all demand. If you get, 15, 20 people that want to do it, they would organize a shoot.
Yeah, and he could always, if he's interested, he could always come and shoot with either us or somebody who's been through a couple of apple seeds, maple seeds as well.
Well, I suggested speaking to his club. He shoots at Silverdale also, same club as Russell does. Yep. And they've got the room, whether losing a range for 2 days, I don't know, but they've got three or four ranges, so.
Yeah, no, I'm just suggesting so that he can get down the technique that Appleseed, Mapleseed coaches.
So clearly Thomas is the closest one to you, Sharp, so I would be hooked up with Thomas and you can get some personal training from Thomas.
Yeah, that's not a problem. He's just in Toronto.
I got no problems volunteering Thomas's time.
Well, it's closer for him to come to my range than go to his range. His range is 2.5 hours from me.
Oh, okay.
Because Silverdale's quite a hike. It's got to be, it's about 45 minutes past Burlington. So.
Wow. That's a little bit of a...
Well, I'm probably maybe 45 minutes from his place.
Well, okay. All right, so that's it for messages. There was no iTunes this week, so, yeah.
And I did message Mark from Trigger Wholesale. I still have not heard back about getting that Pima rifle to review yet, but I did message him to remind him.
I think that you and I need to hook up and see if we can arrange a date that both of us can go out and try that out.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I was hoping.
I hope nobody listens to just that sentence.
George, would you like to join us?
I'm all for that.
Oh no.
Okay. Moving on. Remember, keep it classy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you lost that one.
Closing comments. Anybody got any?
I was scrolling up because I'm like, oh my goodness, we're under an hour.
Are we?
And you said, and I edited stuff because you said I wrote too much.
Yeah, I was being a taskmaster.
Edit.
You know what?
Zip, 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 we'll get rid of this. Zip, 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 zip. I said, don't worry, I had lots of coffee. I'll get through it all. And see, we did, under an hour.
Speaking of hooking up with people, I don't know if Chris Anderson listens to the show or not, but he's a buddy on Facebook, and apparently London has a Comic-Con coming in October, and anyone that's friends with Chris on Facebook knows that he's big time into Comic-Cons. I think he does, was it cosplay or something, dresses up, and really, really gets into it. So I messaged him, I'm like, are you going? He said, yes. I'm like, hey, we got to get together, and he's like, do you like comics? I'm like, I know what they are. So,
Chris Anderson's a Smurf with issues.
So I had a buddy growing up. I was always a jock. He was always kind of the comic geek, and but I used to always just love listening to him go on and on about all the plot lines and all that sort of stuff. So I love the genre. So I think I'm going to grab myself a ticket for the Four City Comic Con and spend the day with Mr. Anderson.
Where's this at again? Sorry.
In London, at the convention center in London here.
Wow.
You've never met Mr. Anderson?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat. He's a very nice guy.
So that's what people keep saying.
No, talk to Chris about the charity shoot too, because he's interested in potentially giving us a hand with that too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's my shout out to Chris.
Yeah, it's been hard with his job the last couple of years, and he hasn't been able to do it. So hopefully, Chris can make it this year.
We didn't talk about any events that were coming up. Sorry, Chris. I got sidetracked there.
October 18th, Comic-Con, London, Forest City. Come meet Chris Anderson and I. I'll be the one walking around going, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
You should dress up. Cheers.
I'll dress up as a cowboy.
You know what, you should
There's
dress up.
There's got to be cowboy cowboy comics.
There are. I'll send you some ideas.
Okay. I'll dress up as, what's his name from Walking Dead? The sheriff guy.
Daryl?
No, he's the redneck biker guy.
I have no idea. I've never watched Walking Dead or any zombie show.
No.
A&E's running a marathon this weekend, and I was just watching it. His son's Carl.
I don't know.
Whatever. I can pretend I'm not him.
My thing.
He's got like a giant ass revolt. Giant revolver.
It's got a giant ass.
No, revolver. It's got like a 8-inch barrel on it. I don't know what kind of revolver it is, but it's a nice gun.
Okay. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my shout out.
Okay, but we haven't got the shout outs yet.
I thought we're on shout outs.
No.
We haven't even put upcoming events yet.
Yeah, I was going to say events and then closing comments.
There is no
and
events.
Shout outs.
There's no events in there.
It goes sharp.
But there's no events
closing
in
comments.
There. But does anybody have?
Does anybody have any
events?
Comments.
Anybody got any events?
October 18th, Comic Con, Forest City, London. Tickets are 17 something plus tax. Advance $30 at the door. See Chris? Excellent. I've already looked into it.
I can't think of anything right now. We posted all the Last Gun shows. There's the Black Badge course coming up in August on the 22nd
and 23rd.
23rd.
Yep.
And there's also a CSSA safety course that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and then there's also the Brockville Range is doing a cleanup and looking for volunteers, so if you're interested.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a hold of them too, George?
Brockville?
What?
What's that range you're getting gonna get a hold of for us?
For what?
We'll talk about later.
Okay. You lost me there. Kind of you threw a shiny thing at me while I was looking at another shiny thing.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, and I was just about to say something. I totally lost it.
Any other events?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Valkyrie Defense. You're kind of running out of time to get your Form 6 NIA in. It's not too late, but check out our friend Brian Sheets and Jason. Jason... What?
Groves.
I was going to say Glover, and I'm like, no, I think that's wrong. So I just won't say his last name. But I just did, and said the wrong one. Anyways, moving on.
If you fill it out properly, you should get it back within a week.
Yeah, Kevin got back his in 5 days.
Yeah, if you email it in, the turnaround's quite quick. Anyways, yeah. Valkyrie Defense, they're doing a course in Ohio. I think Red Ranch is kind of also part of that. Kelly and Kevin are going September, yeah. The weekend of September 12th?
12th and 13th,
12th
yeah.
12th and 13th. So check them out. We are going to make some plans to get Brian on the show probably in the next few weeks to talk about it. So check it out. Valkyrie Defense. I was going to attend, but I end up getting into trucker school, so I had to unfortunately back out.
Right.
But I was going to go. I was shooting with Brian, and he brought one of his targets out, was talking about the course. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome, awesome course.
He was mad at me.
So
I was teasing him about being a little person on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm not Brian's favorite person right now.
Okay.
Talk about his toe shoes.
No, I'm not touching his shoes either.
So, anyways, I just wanted to make sure I got that in and plugged it.
Good stuff.
And we'll have him on before the before September as well.
Yep. All right. How many people are signed up for the course, George? Like, how big's the class?
I think the class can go up to 20. I think they've got 5 so far.
There's only 2 Canadians going right now.
I wonder who that is.
Just me and Kevin. If anybody else is interested.
Yeah, they're trying to get Sticks and Edith to come up. So that's all on the fence because Sticks just finished his giant whirlwind tour of the Northeast. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if anybody's interested, let us know, or we'll connect you up with Brian and that as well.
Yep.
So it'll be lots of fun, and yeah. Great time. Closing comments. Anyone? I have some.
Try something new. Shotgun, rifle, or pistol, or take someone new shooting. Share your love of shooting with others.
Great job there, George.
You read so well. So
No one else was reading it.
I was wondering if you had any other comments besides mine,
oh.
which you wrote in there.
No.
Okay.
You read her comments.
Apparently I did mine out of order. Chris Anderson, Comic-Con, I'm there with you, buddy.
Okay.
What's your comment, Kelly?
Send us your emails, your questions, your iTunes reviews, and listen to all the podcasts on the Crusader Network. So.
And email us the name of the sheriff in Walking Dead. I have totally blanked on it. host@newshootercandidate.ca.
Good job there.
Email us.
Any other shout-outs?
I know his son's name's Carl.
No shout-outs this week.
None? Really?
I've been on holidays. This has been cruise control.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, one. Give a shout-out to John Evers at the CSSA. I had a bunch of questions this afternoon, and he probably spent an hour answering all my questions. So, thank you, John.
Spent an hour with you? Oh, gosh.
You've been a harsh proponent of the CSSA in the past. I'm surprised they still take your calls.
Hey, I'm a member of the CSSA.
Yeah.
He's not a member of the NFA right now.
Yeah, apparently not. And, you know, he's a very knowledgeable person about the CSSA, so if you're going to ask somebody a question, why don't you ask the person that can answer the question the best?
He is very knowledgeable. And he also emails us comments and questions.
Yeah, he's written the show.
Yep. Good guy.
So I appreciate the information. Thank you, John.
Okay. I have a shout-out to to all the other podcasters, Brian Bolivar, Trevor Furlott, Sticks, Kevin, or sorry, yeah, well, Kevin's been on a couple of times, Ken Kowalski, Toby. I just wanted to say.
Sometimes Red.
Actually, Red's on all the time now.
Yeah.
I sent them a Facebook review, but I think because I use the Canadian version. I can only post in the Canadian content. They haven't received it yet. I don't know if they can see it. Well, anyways, getting back to my shout-out, I just wanted to say thanks to you guys for all your encouragement and your kind words and that about me coming on the show. And I wanted to say also thanks to my 2 co-hosts, Thomas and to...
Effer?
yeah, to you, George. Thank you for everything, and it's been a blast so far, and all your kind words and encouragement have made me want to do it and continue it. Thank you.
You know, she made me cry today again, AJ. She said the sweetest thing to me. I just, it was so nice. I just swelled up. And
aww. Yeah.
She did like, what, last week before the show started, she said the kindest thing to me. It just made me feel so good. And I was like,
don't listen to George. You're not that old, Thomas. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
I'm not saying a word. Yeah, so thanks for being with us, Kelly. We appreciate having you around.
Well, I really like it. And that, and even though we are so totally, opposite ends of the spectrum on everything.
Not everything, just politics.
Actually, pretty much everything.
Kelly, to be honest, I am so far to the other side, everybody's on the opposite end to me.
Well, I'm really far.
I don't know if people remember the 90s, but I could make a reformer look liberal.
Oh my.
I know our US listeners are going to go, huh? Mm-hmm. But all our, especially our West Coast, all our West Coast listeners are going to start chuckling.
Is that Reform Party?
That's fine.
Preston Manning.
Hey,
Preston,
you know what? Manning. I think the best thing I ever did for the show was to get Thomas on, because Thomas led to you, and the show has just been amazing.
Plus, we have access to Kevin too.
It's
yeah, you do. Poor Kevin.
But yeah, no, it's been great having you on. It's awesome. Thanks. I love it.
But yeah, big shout out to you guys.
Oh, she's gonna ask for another race, George. You just watch it.
Yeah, and Stacy, my sister from another mister.
What?
I've never heard that before.
Is it from another mother?
That's funny. That's awesome.
Anyways. Alright, let's wrap her up.
Well, we may actually get over an hour.
One last thing. So what, are you going to tell the listeners what you two have been working on for the last 2 weeks?
No, you're going to have to wait and see it.
It's awesome, though. Styx teased it on the last episode.
Yeah. Everybody's gonna want it.
Well, we're gonna have to make a bulk order, because I want some. But we're not gonna tell you what it is.
No. No, it's not t-shirts either.
No.
Hey, I should have the first New Shooter Canada range bag, hopefully this week.
Awesome. I'm gonna want one of those then.
I would
not the floppy hat.
I would
range bag.
You almost got that stupid hat.
If any listeners don't know what we're talking about, George is putting an order in for apparel, and I was looking through the hats looking for this ugliest.
I even said, seriously? You're ordering that? And you said, yeah, sure. Can't you see me wearing it? I'm like, I can't see anybody wearing it, but you're a woman? Who am I to judge? I don't know, I'm not going to judge your fashion sense.
You can't wear that out of range. It's almost a sombrero.
It's like a winter sombrero.
It was all white. I think the woman was planting flowers.
What kind of range bag is it, George?
It's essentially a sport duffel bag that I'm gonna have them having my I guess our logo embroidered on it,
yep.
Which then makes it a range bag because that's what I'll be using it for.
Right.
It's like a sports duffel bag.
That sounds like a great idea.
I said to the lady, I said, what's the difference between this one and this one? She goes, well, it's like an inch wider that way. I said, yeah, it's like $5 more. She goes, well, because it's $5 an inch. I'll lose the inch and save the $5. So.
Okay.
I'm not touching that one.
Oh my goodness, I'm blanking on names. Solutions in Wyoming. That's who I deal with. Awesome. It's family run, local business. It's a mom and pop shop. They're an awesome couple.
We'll have to talk to them about t-shirts for the charity shoot, because we are going to have, now that we're hosting it.
Mm-hmm.
FYI, everybody who's listening, we will be hosting the Podcasters Charity Shoot in June of next year. If you're interested, let us know. We'll add you to the Facebook group about it, and we'll update you about all the upcoming stuff, basically info that's going to be happening with it.
And so far we've got two people on board as sponsors. Dean from Select Shooting Supplies. He's back on board this year, which is great. He was at the first charity shoot that I went to, and I asked him if he'd be willing to come set up a tent for us, but he just started a new retail business, so he's not available, but he offered to give some swag as prizes. And then when I submitted the article for the CFI, they also said they'd be interested in sponsoring the event. I don't know what level. They all say contact us next year. So we've got some people stepping up to help us, which is nice.
After listening to my comments, this show they may not.
Well, Kelly's working on a couple things, too.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a great charity shoot and all that. Yeah, so.
Do we have a range yet, or are we still working on that?
Still working on it. We've heard back about some things. We're just going back to see if maybe they can give us that at a cheaper price.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Are we over the 1 hour mark?
Yep, by 11 minutes.
Awesome. See, when I'm at the helm, it's...
Now, mind you, when I truncate silence and add the intro, outro, we're good.
Okay. Anyways. So, that's about it for this week. Have a good night, everybody.
Until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and shooting. Smoking.
I got nothing.
Shooting and smoking.
I got nothing.
And keep shooting classy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Catch you next week.
Bump, bump.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
God made the animals, and God made the trees. God made you, well, hell, he even made me. And he gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look. I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.